Welcome back to the Virtual Life Broadcast. We'll get to the questions fairly soon, but I just wanted to share something with you. Many of you may have noticed that my hair is a little different. Well, it's the time of change. Over the past months, it's been changing slowly, and just recently I found someone that I went to see, a hairdresser, who helped with the process, just where it blended into each other a little bit more. But it's great fun to feel like it's a new me. But it is definitely a change, a transition. And that's not what we're all going through. You know, how do we see ourselves? What's our identity? Who are we? For a moment, when I first got my hair done, I felt this loss of self, like who I had always been. I grew up, I'm tall, I had dark hair, brown eyes, and that's who I saw myself as. And so to make this kind of change made me think every time I passed by a mirror, I went, whoa, that's different. But I am embracing it, and it feels so good that I'm not going to have to color my roots anymore, because I got thinking about it, and I've colored my hair for nearly 40 years, or 30 years, something like that. It's time to just accept yourself for who you are, and just shine in the new you. And that's what I see a lot of people doing. During this time of this virus, we didn't really have a choice. We needed to stay home and not do things like we used to. But this is good. I feel good about this change. But, you know, we do kind of have to make that adjustment, because we say who we are according to our looks, our what we do for work, a career, if we're married or single, our children or family. If anything in your life majorly changes, you really kind of get shooken up. And you go, wait a minute, who am I now? What am I supposed to do? Just take charge and bring on that newness, that new you. You know what? We're not the same people we were 20 years ago or even more. We are these magnificent beings that are just blossoming into the newness of our spirituality and whatever we choose to have in our lives. It's a reset. It's a time to improve your version of who you are. I hesitated for a long time. I said, I'll go gray when I'm 80 or something. Well, this year we're going to be turning 70. So I thought, well, close enough, especially with the circumstances. Now's the time. But I did hesitate because how I thought of my mother. At 40, she was totally gray, and I mean a dull gray, and because she wasn't well, her health was not in good condition, and I always thought, oh my gosh, she looks so old. Well, children usually think that of their parents anyway, but you know, it did. But, and then I remember she one day came home and she had her hair dark again, and I thought, oh, she looks so much better. So in my mind, I said, I'm never going gray. I don't want to be looking old. Well, those are the days of the past. Now, our youth is within our spirits, no matter what we look at. It's just an amazing time to be alive and just discover who we're becoming. And other people will see you and sometimes judge. I've had wonderful comments from all of you saying that you like the gray. Every month it's a little different. Like my sister-in-law and a dear friend of mine, they looked at me and they said, I don't like it. You sure you want to do this? And it for a minute, it made me have self-doubts. And I thought, oh, maybe I don't. But why did I want to give my power away? I like who I'm becoming every day, inside and out. When you wake up in the morning, say, who am I today, and who do I want to become? Again, take on this newness, whatever is happening in your lives. It can be a slow, steady process, or it can just jump in your face. Whatever is transitioning your life, just enjoy it. The newness can be very, very exciting. So take care and be your best. So it is. All right. Well, we're going to get right to the questions now.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah? So you're getting kind of gray, too.
Oh, yeah. I've been working on it, you know, the whole time. I'd be thrilled to be gray. That means I have hair.
Yeah. Well, oh, gosh. Well, you know, I think it's funny. Instead of my email being keeper@espavo.com, I think it'll be silverfox.
Oh, you're going to change your email now,
no,
too.
No, I'm just kidding. But it is fun.
Awesome. Thanks, babe. Okay, we want to get into some of the questions here.
Yeah, we've
got
some good ones here. This first one is...
And I want to tell everybody, I don't hear these or read these until we actually hear them. So they're a surprise to me, too.
Yeah, they are. So it's interesting to see what the group will say.
Sure.
Okay, Marianne says, I just watched the latest virtual light broadcast on July 25th. You asked then to send a message to inform you from which country people are watching. Well, I am from the Netherlands. My name is Marianne, and I'm 69 years old. I have followed you for many years, since 1994.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that goes back. I am always looking forward to watch the monthly virtual light broadcast, the extra ones, too. The message from the group always touches my heart, and their energy mostly remains for several days. And it always such a pleasure to see you both. Thank you for making this possible.
Oh, thank you so much.
That's
so beautiful.
Thank you, Marianne.
So much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we love to hear
it. We love the feedback. And you know, negative feedback's okay, too. If you got something that's bothering you about the broadcast or something, send it in. We may not read it, but that's okay.
We do like to hear it, though.
Well, yeah, we read them all.
Constructive we read them all. Criticism.
We read them all. Well, we don't always get to all of them because we get a lot of them lately. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, this is from April. And she says, I guess this is more of a comment of the gushy love note variety. Okay. I only just found you recently, and I'm so grateful I did. You two are delightful and generally funny. It is obvious from everything you do that you're really having fun. We do have fun.
We are having fun. I gotta tell you, every night when we go to bed, the last thing we do is laugh.
Yeah, we do.
We usually have a pillow fight or something silly, and we're sitting there giggling and telling jokes to each other. It's just amazing.
I know. It's hard to go to sleep sometimes.
I know. Or I wake up in the middle of the night laughing at something I didn't understand before.
I think, you know, in September, September 9th, we're going to celebrate our 48th wedding anniversary.
Yeah, coming up
next
week.
And I think the key to a long relationship is laughter. Keep the joy
in your
heart.
I thought it was good sex.
Oh, stop it. Oh. No. Don't listen to the man over here. Okay, where am I? Thank you for sharing your unique light. You speak so well to quiet, sensitive souls in a way that truly no one else can. Thank you for extending your hearts and creating, inviting us into this family. It has brought me more peace than I have words to describe. There are moments when both of you are speaking, and I honestly feel you are speaking directly and specifically to me, as though you know me in the heart, from my hearts to hearts, and how painful it's been to hide my light and true essence, but reassuring me that it's safe to come out and play now.
Yes, it is.
And I am needed. I can't tell you how long I've been longing to hear those words. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Oh, thank you, April.
Welcome home, April. Gushy notes are okay. That's all right. That's
good. I like them. Okay. This one is from Donna, and she says, thank you, Barbara, Steve, and the group. I have had 4 significant relationships. 3 out of 4 have the same numbers in their birthdays, just in different orders. First one is 12.
Here. She sent them to us. We can actually see them.
Yes. The first one is 12/01/1959. Second relationship was 01/12/1959. And the third one is 11/20/1959. The one whose birthday is in November was only in my life when I was a teenager. I had his son, and that he was not aware of. He has come back into my life in 2019. His address has my birth date. 7716 Route 61. There are many more synchronicities. What I would like to know is the man that has recently come back into my life, my twin flame.
Doesn't actually use those words of twin flame. We get very confused about that. their vision is a little bit different. They basically say that we come in with all sorts of contracts and backup plans in case those contracts don't work. And I think that's exactly what you illustrated here. Many times, a person will come into a person's life, maybe a little early, and have to go all circle all the way around and come back into the life to complete the contract. That's exactly what you just described here. So congratulations. Absolutely. And as far as the synchronicities of the numbers, yeah, numerology is awesome. If you start looking at it, it's very simple because we put all these little things there to get our attention. Most people don't notice. You just noticed. Well done.
The number 9 seems to come into our lives together. You know,
9 is completion.
Yes.
I think we're here as last timers. And we're completing something. I'm not sure what it is, but we'll get it down.
We're going to enjoy it.
we'll figure it out.
All right. This is from Maureen. There are so many theories about this Rh negative blood type, and I would like to know the truth. There may be more than one truth, but please share what will serve most people at this time. Let me say first that I know all of humanity are aliens from a supposed origin, colors, or families. I know that I came here from the blue and white. I know that the great central sun, which is not an actual sun, is the portal we come through to manifest into physically. I know that there is a star out there with my name on it because you told us so. That morsel has comforted me so very deeply. Okay. I'm not exactly sure what I want to know. Science doesn't understand why we have different blood groups. Rh negative, Rd negative, antigen types are said to be 15% of the population, except in
the Baltic countries? The Basque region.
Okay. Where it's estimated that approximately 21 to 40% of people there are Rh negative. I've always wondered about blood types, too.
Well, you have a very rare
yes,
blood type.
O negative, I believe.
She's O negative.
Yeah.
So, and from what I understand, Steve knows very little about this, so Steve, the group would not comment through me on this because I don't have the wisdom up here to... You know what I mean? That's basically what it is. But why do we have different blood types and blood groups? They came from our origin. Different people, groups started in different places. There's still a lot of argument about that and still a lot of, because all of this, of course, there's no recorded history back then. So literally all of this is conjecture and trying to try on a theory until it's proved otherwise. But basically... The group says we started in different places. Now, there's a lot of theories that said, no, only one place started, and they traveled to all these other places and started other people. The blood types are a very good part of this. Europe has one type of blood that is common. The United States has a different type of blood as the most common. Obviously, they change back and forth. We have people traveling back and forth, marrying back and forth, having children, blending that together, which, by the way, is one of the greatest things the group said we can do, is race mixing.
You're seeing more and more of it.
We're seeing it all the time now. We turn on the television, that's all we see for ads, is multiracial couples doing things, and it's incredible. So
yeah, we're
very
all,
quiet, because yeah. Nobody's ever bringing it to the forefront other than Black Lives Matter and all the people doing that. But
We're all a mixture of it, you know, who knows what.
It's we're all mixtures.
Yes.
That's the most beautiful thing we can do.
That is.
Blend. Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
Right.
Very nice.
Okay.
Thank you.
This is from Susan. Thank you for all you do. I love your videos. They bring joy and a desire for more forward movement. When I listened to Atlantis Rising, yes. You talked about the change in time through such things as crystals in our watches brought to our world. It made me think of digital clocks and how they changed our perception. Now everyone is aware of repetition of numbers,
yep.
such as 11, 22, 22, 22, and I saw 9-11 today.
Numbers, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I see. And the other master numbers. This was not as obvious before we had clocks with hand dials.
That's right.
People were not as aware of these numbers in their daily life. I believe they were created around the 1950s or 1960s.
That's correct.
What does this mean? What change did this do to signify in our world?
Well, we leave little hints, little things all around. that we have placed here ourselves as spirit. Sometimes we get help from the other side of the veil, and they put things in our way and bring things to us in many different ways. And that's part of what is taking place here, is that a lot of these things are just coming up into that. Numerology in general is a fascinating study. Dan Millman wrote several books that were just incredible about taking it and looking at it in a totally different way. There's many people that have done numerology. Dan Millman's only one. But there's some incredible secrets that you can unwrap, similar to what you can do with astrology. So are these cosmic winks? Yes, that's exactly what they are, to let us know we're on the path. Do we actually see them and say, oh, there's a number that means this? No, we pick them up energetically. Very few people notice them. You did. Congratulations. But that's part of what you're going to see. You're going to see validations, not only in numbers, but in cosmic winks, they call it. Basically, where you planted and you look at it, and all of a sudden, you go, okay, I'm on the right path. I feel it. That's basically what this is.
Well, I see 9/11, and
you saw it for years,
yes,
almost 3 years before 9/11 happened in the United States.
Right before it happened, but and I don't see it as often anymore. But I did today, and you know, it used to kind of freak me out. I thought, oh no, 9/11, something bad is going to happen. Why the human brain goes there, I don't know, but
automatically goes to the worst.
Right, but I've let that go, because what I have found is when I all of a sudden look at the clock and it's 9/11. I know some change is coming about. Well, I've been through enough change. But it's going to be a
good
change.
So what do you do, look away?
I do. Oh, no, I saw it again. No, it's a good thing, because we all know change is good, right?
Oh, yeah, change
Not
is great.
Always
I
easy,
love it. Yeah.
All right. This is from Aleya. Wow, thank you so much for Unity Healing.
Oh, that was
I am so grateful for all the angels that brought you their activations in for us, but I have a personal message for Ilra. Oh, boy.
Oh, here we go.
Ilra, honey, you lit up my world on fire. Oh, I say that to him all the time. That very energy took me back to my childhood essence of laughter, fireflies, butterflies, dandelions, and all things nature,
awesome,
including my best friend, Poochie. It reminded me of the joy I felt playing with the wind when a storm was brewing, or the time my mom went to answer the phone while I was in the tub, so I went outside in my birthday suit, and nobody knew. Yeah, I think Ilra was probably with you. What freedom I felt. I haven't felt this much joy since swimming with the dolphins in Hawaii in 2014. Oh, we know that feeling. That's wonderful.
Well, 2014, we were there. Maybe she was with us.
I'm not sure. This reset is exactly what I needed, and I can't tell you how grateful I am to feel more and more like myself. I'm pretty sure I'll be partaking a few more times before the end of 2020, just to make sure that sticks. You guys are amazing. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Yeah, that was a very powerful course. It was 2 days of just filled with activations. In fact, we never know really how they're going to go over until we actually put them on and see what it's like. And it was so well done and so well accepted that we came back with another 3 days to push us to that next level. And that's what's coming up with moving from surviving to thriving. That is what that is. 3 days of full of activations. Of course, they're going to take us on a journey and tell us what to look for, and the journeys are all in channel anyway, so they have, you know, it's a full channel. But they want to do that for activation purposes, to bring us up to that next level.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. All right, this is from Joni. There have been multiple major fires located exactly along the San Andreas Fault in the last week or so.
Yep.
All of California seems to be on fire. I'm guessing those fires are relieving earthquake energy, since we have also had a swarm of medium-sized quakes,
yes,
recently in the Salton Sea area.
Right.
And then she included a...
Let me just take it from here, because we've been working with a lot of this in Lightmaster. What is happening is there's a lot of swarms of what we call earth movement. These are small earthquakes, one right after the other. For those of you who took Atlantis Rising, you saw exactly what we were talking about around Puerto Rico. They have been having those swarms since January. Now, also, the west coast of the United States, California, is getting hit in different places with these swarms. They're watching very closely, and the another place that's getting hit with the swarms is Yellowstone itself, mm-hmm. which is, of course, is a volcano. So what that means is very deep earth movement. The tectonic plates, instead of jumping, are moving slowly. Magma is moving. All of this is rearranging itself in a way. And, of course, we did a whole three-day seminar on Atlantis rising and what that means and how that happened.
Right.
I got to tell you, that was fascinating for me. I saw some things in there I've never seen before. So that was a powerful one as well with Atlantis rising. But these things are taking place on a regular basis. These swarms, which is a good thing, whole bunch of very small earthquakes, one and twos, instead of a four or five, which does tremendous damage.
Yeah.
So again, Lightmaster, we've been following this for quite some time. But an interesting part, if you look at the maps that are there about where the fires were, Paradise, Northern California, different areas, that you're going to see the earthquakes moving and those swarms moving in the same way. So what we're going to tell you is, yes, there is a connection between the fires and the earthquakes. I don't know all of it yet, but there is a connection there. I don't know whether they're going to talk about it or not down the road, but there is definitely a connection between the earthquakes, especially the small swarms, and the fires. They're actually attracted in different ways. So, interesting piece.
Right. She had included a link, but I'm sure you could look it up. But I never heard that before. It makes sense, though. You know, the earth is...
Well, I don't know how that works, because I understand what an earthquake is and I understand what a fire is. And there's not a connection that Steve can figure out. I don't see how those two things connect. But they're connected. The group says absolutely.
I think we'll hear more from the group about that later on.
We'll hear about that at some point, I'm sure.
All right, this is from Timothy. Aloha, Steve and Barbara and the group. Just want to thank you for all the love and all that you are doing. One light worker having the power to affect thousands of people.
Oh,
I live in Hawaii, and I feel the nature is my therapy. I feel also like a storm keeper here on the island. We recently had a dangerously close, thankfully without harm.
I just missed you.
I have done a lot of air, land, and fire work. This time, some reason, I felt a great resistance, and because of all that suffering currently the planet is going through, I needed to have the land portal at certain places as well. What does portals? I'm sorry, it got cut off. I think he wants to know about the portals. He would appreciate if you would enlighten him about that. Sorry.
Portals are everywhere. They're dimensional portals. Basically, can move between dimensions. It's very confusing to try and describe exactly what that is. If you're familiar with how the group describes multidimensionality, 11 different U's, same spirit, same higher self, but all going in different directions, making different decisions, different connections. And the whole thing is about balance. Portals. Portals can be in the earth, because she is multidimensional as well. You can move from a portal into another area through a portal and may not even know it. Because it's so similar in different ways. You can also start moving through the portals in the multidimensional area. Of course, everybody wants to meet the other yous. We do that on the SAOTO all the time in Lightmaster, mm-hmm. but we don't. It's very difficult to do most of the time. There's a magnetic part that keeps you away from each other. So as you start to get close, they naturally move away. It's kind of an interesting process.
I like how he says he's a storm keeper on the island.
And there's...
You're doing a good job.
Spiritual places that we see as having a spiritual, they're portals, not Shasta, all seven islands, everything you've got out there basically is a huge portal. Eight islands, they're correcting me. Are there eight islands? I thought there was only seven islands. Anyway, group says there's eight, so I'll have to figure out that.
One's going to come up still.
I don't know.
A new one. Yeah.
Anyway, they're very magical, and there are portal keepers. There are people that literally are assigned that do it themselves. They commit to be the portal keepers. When the portal completes, all of a sudden you don't have to worry about it. Starts as a vortex, turns into a portal, and then you don't have to be the guardian anymore. It's kind of an interesting process.
Well, you do this with the light masters so often is where you will all concentrate and move the energy of a storm or whatever. Yeah. And when we had this last Hurricane Laura, you know, we've got some friends who live in a part of Texas where that it was headed right for them. And I spent so much of my time and energy just moving that, but then I felt guilty because I didn't want it to hit anybody. But it had to go somewhere. I'm glad our friends are safe.
Absolutely. We did not work on that thing. The group only gives us things to work on where we can make a difference. That was already set into stone. We did not work on that one at all.
Well, I had that one handled.
But there's one coming up. We're going to start working with it.
Oh, boy.
There's another one right on the same path coming this way. We can diffuse it very quickly. We'll probably work on that one in rising light or a global light, which is where we bring everybody together free of charge and focus on something. Global light will be coming up in the next week or so. So
you would think we could catch a break with all this virus stuff going on. Why do people have to have all this natural disasters?
Hang on. There's more coming. Mm.
Tell me some good news. Okay. This is from Brenda. One question I've been thinking about. Steve mentioned recently our lives will be drastically changing. We would appreciate if you can expand on that with a practical example, if you can.
Take a look at what's happened just since this virus has come in and changed your world. That's basically what they're saying. Now, the virus itself, people are sick and tired of talking about the virus because it's still here. It's still there. We haven't mastered it. This one piece of this virus is the most dangerous part, and that's that 40% of the people that get this virus don't know they have it. They're asymptomatic. They don't have any symptoms, and that's the reason it spreads so easily with people. They don't know they have this virus. They don't know they're a spreader. They may never know. And, of course, here in the U.S., we still have big blocks on testing and problems of that nature, but that is the problem. Now, I will tell you, we're looking for some pretty big increases in this virus in Europe this fall. So I will tell you that we're going to see a resurgence of it. We're going to be working with it in different ways. What is the answer to the virus? It's holding hands. It's very simple. It's unity. If we weren't so divided, we would have gotten rid of this already. It's that simple. All we need to do is focus, hold hands for 2 weeks, the group said, 2 weeks, and we can eradicate this and bring it down. We'll still be dealing with it, 3 to 5 years probably, but we don't have to deal with it in the way that we're dealing with it right now.
Well, of course, we can't hold hands physically, but in your mind's eye, you can reach out and really touch people, just feel them.
And if we all work together, that's the piece, because of the fact that we're all so divided and all the contrarians that say, oh, there's no virus, and oh, we don't need this, and oh, and I'm better than that. I can't get the virus. All the things that we typically will work with and so forth. But I'll tell you, that changed our world already. Most people aren't familiar with how that's going to look, but I'll tell you right now, if you own a restaurant, you're probably in difficult times. Mm. A lot of things are going to change from the way we do business. A huge amount of our energy here in the United States was spent on restaurants, on entertainment. We live in Las Vegas. It's all entertainment. That's basically what it is. Now, we closed down. We've opened back up with distancing and small percentages of people that can come. I don't know how long you think these businesses can survive like that. But that is where the problem is going to start having. Most businesses that have gone even back into business can't make a living at what they've been doing. Everything is changing. Watch for it. Look for the shortcuts. Look for the open doors because the needs are still there. We're just going to fulfill them in different ways. And because we're distancing right now, that is absolutely a wonderful thing to do. And I'll even tell you something else. There's another virus waiting to come in.
Oh,
so if we get the keys down, we fix it. We know what to do. We know how to work with it.
like I was talking about, you know, with our feeling our identity. So many people, if you're a restaurant owner, you feel like that's who you are. You own a restaurant, you serve people, and you probably have a passion about it, and that may not exist. So you need to look at plan B. There's always some other avenue you can go down and recreate yourself.
That's correct. So look ahead. Take a look at what's happening on the large basis, and we'll see if we can't find spots for everything that you do. Because, like we said, all the needs are still there. Everything is still there. We're going to have to fulfill things in a slightly different way for the next time frame. And it doesn't mean we have to stay in our houses. We're obviously going to go out. People are finding success with going out and limiting the groups that they are exposed to. So if you have a family with 8 or 9 people in it, and you all live in the house, you try to keep that to that number of people that you can, and that will bring it down very, very quickly.
Right, and it's up to you how you handle this. You know, Steve and I, we really don't go anywhere, you know, except maybe a quick errand to the grocery store or something.
We've been set up. I have no doubt that the group knew this was coming and set us up in this position, because we literally haven't changed a thing, and we can start to see why we had to build all these things now that we are looking back. But I know not everybody's that way, and I know not everybody, we didn't see this coming. We just started building things because thought that's where we were going. But interesting, a lot of people are blocked. A lot of people are waiting for the wave to go away so they can go back into their normal lives. We'll tell you, your normal life has already changed. Start looking for the new ways and the new rhythms.
The new normal.
The new normal, that's right.
Right.
Okay, we're going to have to cut this short here, so go ahead and grab one or two more.
Let's Yvonne, I do a lot of crying and sobbing when I enter the SEOTO. What's going on?
I had to learn how to do that. When I started writing, I had to learn how to type and write through the tears. The tears were so intense, I had stains on my shirts where the tears were. And in the beginning, when I started channeling live, people couldn't understand me because I was so overcome with everything. And I did throat it close off and you couldn't breathe and people couldn't understand what was going on. It took me almost a year to learn how to breathe through that and still feel it. And to this day, I still tear up. I teared up at the channel a little bit earlier, but I was able to talk right through it, go right back in.
You've had a lot of practice now.
I've had 20 years of practice.
Yes.
Exactly, of being able to do that.
Well, but, I think it's also, and this used to happen when we did in-person seminars all the time. Oh, yeah. People would come in and they would be doing the seminar, and you know, they call me the Kleenex lady for a reason. I would be going around the room handing out Kleenex because people would be brought to tears and they would say, what's going on?
It's the
feeling of connecting with home, right. And especially if you're in a room full of spiritual family and feel safe and you know, secure to let your feelings out.
You'd always find one or two people that would come in. They'd feel the energy for a little bit, and then we'd find them crying off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
It was very, very common, and if we ask if anything was, oh, no, everything's fine, you know, and nothing's wrong type of thing.
Therefore, yeah.
So I've dealt with the tears myself quite a bit.
Well, maybe we should move on then. We'll get to these couple other questions next time for sure.
We'll bring them back in. Questions@espavo.org is exactly where you can go to do that. I think I've got that up here. I do. There you go. You can go to questions@espavo.org, and they will be read at the next Virtual Light broadcast next month, which is, I think, on the 26th, if I remember right.
Check the calendar.
I thought that was so funny that Allison says, the 17th, the day of action. That's the day we're starting
Lightmaster.
It's going
to be a very important day,
yeah.
I think.
It's going to be all a right. cosmic wink for everybody.
Well, we'll be right back with more of the Virtual Light broadcast, and I do believe we're going to hear from Meg Adamson.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
Espavo, everybody.
Espavo.
Thanks.